blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III. Joined by the corner contingent right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, fresh off of giving thanks. Oh, not just last week. No, we're still giving thanks. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated. Y'all know what it is, the real J Mac. Ladies and gentlemen, we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I don't know if you've heard it yet, but Joe Biden pardoned himself yesterday. What's that? Oh, no, I'm not mistaken. Joe Biden pardoned himself yesterday. We'll get into it. You know, I truly hope, and this is not for the usual and consistent Hamilton Corner listeners. I'm talking about the people who may be just tuning in for the first time today, or maybe friends and family members and loved ones who've never tuned in yet, and this is the first time getting to hear the program. I hope you all understand now why people like me and those who have pointed you to this program have been saying for quite some time that the corruption is not on the way. It's here. It's been here. When you see, and I need the word of God just as much as anybody else, but when you see what happened yesterday, y'all know the drill. If you want something to get media attention, you usually do it, you know, on a Monday. You know, when you're just going to lob that out there. Hey, oh, yeah, by the way, pardon my son. And you go through this whole long screed, and we're going to go into it with particularity. They're saying, oh, this is nothing more than a politically motivated prosecution of my son. By your own Department of Justice? Your own Department of Justice is out to get you. And the trial, and many people, constitutionalists have said the gun charges, I mean, come on. But you were convicted by a jury. You guys want to remember, know where? You want to remember where? He was convicted by a jury in Delaware. The state that his dad just, I don't know, was elected and reelected and reelected and reelected. Let's just say it wasn't a hostile jury pool. Then I'm telling you, can't make this stuff up. The other conviction was for a plea bargain. Dude, you admitted guilt. Your son admitted guilt. But I'm telling you, none of that has anything to do with the reality of what the pardon is about. And he admits that. He admits that. And you keep reading through, and I got the White House press release on it. You read through it, you get right to the end and say, oh, this is what this is about. For all crimes, or what could be crimes, over the previous 11 years. Oh, boy. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. But before we get into any of that, I want to say first and foremost that I hope each and every one of you had a tremendous time of specified, dedicated celebration and giving thanks that our nation affords us to enjoy. I have to tell you, I am exceedingly grateful to have a time when the entire nation is directed to give thanks, to which I always say, give thanks to whom? There's no such thing as impersonal thanks. But that Thanksgiving must have an object. And if you are a Christ follower, you understand that the call to give thanks is one that is not limited to a fall Thursday in November, but this is something that we should live daily, and we should be equally as thankful today as we have been during the holiday season. And as we look toward the time, and you know, I don't think anybody is under any illusions or delusions that December 25th is the day that Messiah was, the incarnate Messiah was born. But nevertheless, we can take full advantage of this time as a part of our nation's intentional attention directed in a particular way. And I know in the midst of the efforts to commercialize this, that's why there's such a speeding effort to go speed right past Thanksgiving, because you can't really commercialize gratitude. But you sure can commercialize gift giving. I just want to, I'll say to you the same thing my son says. If the focus is upon the Christ, don't let it be eclipsed by you or me. Let's focus on the Messiah as we look into the greatest news ever disclosed in world history, that God put on human flesh so that the sons of men could be made sons of God, and that the once and for all atoning sacrifice for our sins was paid, that debt was paid by Jesus Christ, and now it is our express privilege and opportunity to embrace, to accept what Jesus has done for us, that we confess our sinfulness in need of a Savior. We admit that reality. We believe in the finished work of the cross, and we embrace his gospel. And as the book of Romans tells us, if we confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts, it's not some incantation that you recite. It is a reality of the heart condition as brought about as the Spirit of God draws us to him in saving faith. Let this be the time that we embrace what Jesus Christ has provided for us. Glory to God. To the word of God we go. Jeremiah chapter 6 is where I want to go today. And as always, at this very moment, many of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs to your full-time jobs, because I want to remind you that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. In Jeremiah chapter 6, this really, as I was preparing for today's show, this scripture really just pierced my heart concerning the state of affairs in our country. Now, I'm going to explain this in this segment, but also throughout the show, what I mean here. And in Jeremiah 6, you'll recall that the prophet Jeremiah ministered up into the Babylonian exile under Nebuchadnezzar. He started about 627 BC and continued on until the Babylonian conquest, unfortunately. And he was warning the southern kingdom of Judah, warning them to repent and diagnosing the rank wickedness that had befallen the nation of Judah. I explained to you, look at 1 Kings 23, you can see, 2 Kings 23, you can see some of the abominable things that were transpiring in the Lord's temple. You know, it's grotesque, frankly. But this is what the word of God says, Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 13. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain. And from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at the time that I punish them. They shall be overthrown, says the Lord. As I mentioned, the prophet Jeremiah is confronting the sin-fallen state of the southern kingdom of Judah prior to Babylonian conquest and exile. And he begins by saying that one of the major evidences of the rot in Judah was the pernicious reality of greed for gain. You can cross-reference this passage with 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Some people misquote this text in saying money is the root of all evil, but that is not what the scripture says. The scripture says the love of money. The love of money is the root of all manner of evil. The Lord is divinely revealing that men in their wickedness and our wickedness will do all manner of evil in pursuit of money. We have here, and I'm going to explain this in the next segment, Joe Biden pardoning his son Hunter, but the reality is he's pardoning himself. And I'm going to explain that. His prosecution for his tax crimes after slow walking with the same Justice Department that was willing to slow walk the tax prosecution to allow several of the charges to be time barred by the statute of limitations. Then to have the final tax crimes where Hunter Biden pled guilty to them for tax evasion, which means that he generated money, didn't pay the government, tried to hide it. The Department of Justice was specific to note that that revenue had been generated in furtherance of a, quote, foreign influence peddling scheme, end quote, which gave the indication that it more than likely, I won't say more than likely, but that it could be subject to further investigation. It's the money that was connected to it. But here, the scripture saying everyone. I've said before, and I'm going to say it here now, that I'm gravely concerned, and I'm going to unpack this as the show unfolds, that we're in a place at a critical juncture in our nation's history to where conservatism very well could be redefined before our very eyes, to where in exchange for, you know, a booming stock market and less regulation, we may have some people who may want to describe themselves as conservative, but they really are not interested in things that were that have always been a part of a, I would say this way, a proper biblical understanding of society. Because there's no such thing as conservatism without biblical fidelity. I'm just telling you the truth. There's not. And so we have, you know, under the GOP banner, not as much interested in the sanctity of human life and, sexual morality. You know, why can't the Republicans have the Big Ten and have, you know, the log cabin Republicans and have the acceptance of homosexuality? You know, I posted on the artist formerly known as Twitter not too long ago, Congresswoman Nancy Mace is going on and on and on, rightly so, about not allowing transgender bathrooms in Congress. But then, wrongly, she says, I support same-sex marriage, but the transgender bathrooms are too far. And I simply responded to the congresswoman by saying, ma'am, you are revealing your misunderstanding of this issue. She does not understand how the acceptance of same-sex marriage laid the foundation for the current dialogue concerning whether or not men can enter women's bathrooms and women's restrooms. That is, if God's designed sex specificity is optional for marriage, why can't it be optional for restrooms? One leads to the other. You see that happening with some of President Trump's cabinet picks. Yeah, but y'all know me, equal opportunity truth teller. I'm concerned that there are many who have been so bludgeoned by the demonic spirit of the age that they just want some kind of, we just want to see those donkeys beat back. And you might end up going along with wickedness, but at least inflation is down. Now, don't get misconstrued what I'm saying. I want inflation to be reduced. I buy groceries. I want gas prices to go down. I don't want to have to, you know, to get a mortgage to pay to feed my children. Because y'all know I got six children. But it's incumbent upon the people of God that we don't lose our discernment. This is what I'm concerned about. That there could be a loss of discernment. And just as the scripture says, it begins by talking about greed. And then it goes on to say, including prophets and priests, they heal the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace. My concern is that there are people today that'll say, oh, because Trump is president-elect, 47 president-elect, that all is well in the United States of America. And I'm here to tell you all is not well. I'm not trying to be a doomsdayer, but we must be sober-minded in order to be able to be biblically vigilant. Verse 13, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Not at all. They were not ashamed. They don't even know how to blush. This pardoning is Joe Biden pardoning Hunter, really, to pardon himself. But that is an externalized political evidence of some of the same corruption that is rife in our society. We have gone from the place to where we had a reverence for God and a respect for women to now we have young ladies going on social media to talk about their body counts. What I'm saying is that all is not well. I believe God has given us a reprieve with the Trump election, but all is not well in the United States of America. We are a wicked nation in desperate need of repentance.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Genesis is a wonderful, powerful, and supernatural book. It's the book that begins to answer our questions about God. People ask many questions about life, real questions that they wish to get answers for. Questions such as, where did we come from? Who created us? Who created the world? Who created the universe? What is the purpose of life? These are only a few of many legitimate questions that people often ask. If you'd ask many scientists in our culture today, what are some of your main goals and what is your purpose in studying science? We're trying to find out who we are and where we came from. The Word of God has answers, many, many answers. It's God's Word that gives us answers to all of our questions. He, of course, has answers that no one else would even begin to have.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. The inglorious JRB, Mr. Ice Cream Man himself. In the waning days of his, what do we call it? I'll call it Oval Office occupancy. He's decided to pardon his son. And I'm going to read the specifics of the pardon language so that you can see what is there. But in true slimy politician fashion, and anybody who wants to continue to tell me, oh, Joe Biden is such a nice man, he's such an American who puts the country first, y'all have just been lying to yourselves for years, because none of that is true, nor has it ever been true. It's a part of the same, you know, serve pro, like it never even happened, political propaganda that took the woman who couldn't get 1% of the Democrat presidential primary vote in 2019, running in the lead up to the 2020 election. The same woman who became one of, if not the most, least popular and ineffective vice presidents in American history. Then all of a sudden, she can walk on water, turn water to wine. You know, she can raise the dead, open blind eyes. I mean, you tell me something she cannot do. You know, these are the same people. These are the same people. So, on this declaration released yesterday evening, and this is straight from whitehouse.gov, and I'm going to spare you all of the long muckety-muck, but he gets to the place to where Mr. Biden says this about his son, quote, "The charges in his cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election." All right. So Mr. Joseph Robin Ed Biden wants you all to believe that, and he wants me to believe. I don't think he cares if anybody believes it, frankly. But he's going to say it. That the cases came about because his political opponents instigated them. Now, I would remind you that the convictions that have transpired occurred both in Delaware. One, for a jury of people from Delaware. And two, via guilty plea. The second one via guilty plea. But before we get to that, I want to just take a walk down memory lane. You guys know how all of the people, including Mr. Robin Ed Biden himself, told us, there's no way Mr. Biden is going to pardon his son. There's no way he's going to pardon his son. Mr. Joseph Biden, will you pardon your son? No, I will not pardon my son. I will not pardon my son. Over and over and over again. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not surprised that he pardoned his son. Not surprised at all. So if you're telling me you're not surprised he lied, no. I'm not surprised he lied. And you listen to Whoopi Goldberg. She said, don't call it a lie. don't call it a lie. What do you want us to call it, Whoopi? What you call it? A whoopsie? That's what you should call it? Whoopsie. Don't call it a lie. It's not a lie. Whoopi Goldberg sounded like she'd been smoking cigarettes since she was 5 years old. don't call it a lie, Bobby. Bobby, that's so mean. He's above that statue. Don't call it a lie. Because, you know, I'm a working man. Working person. Just like you, Bobby. You too, Jeff. I'm a working person. Don't call it a lie. Call it a whoopsie. Listen to these people. Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I'm going to make it through this montage. Listen to this. Clip number one. Everybody said Mr. Biden would never pardon crackhead Hunter. Listen to this. Clip one. Go.
Presidential promise to put the law before a family.
I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers.
Was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon his son if he gets convicted.
Let's wait and see what happens if he loses.
Yeah, but I mean, but he said it.
He's going to get pardoned by his dad. There's no question about that.
The president has ruled out pardoning his son.
Major commitment from the president, accepting the outcome of the trial and also pledging not to pardon his son.
The contrast is profound. To sit there and say, well, I'm not going to intervene in the legal process and I wouldn't pardon my son. One side, Democrats and Joe Biden protecting the justice system. And on the other, Republicans and Trump protecting Trump.
A current president of the United States has so much respect for the law that he has said he would not pardon his son. I mean, what, you know, again, it's all about the contrast.
President Biden saying, I will respect whatever this jury decides. That's versus right. Donald Trump after he was convicted on 34 counts, saying the entire system is rigged against him.
You ain't gonna pardon his son. Till he pardoned his son. So as I mentioned, he began his screed by saying the charges in this case, in his son's cases, and I want you to notice the specific language, guys. The charges in his son's cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. That's the genesis of it all. So the genesis of the cases. Now, guys, this is I want to show y'all this. Who you're watching the show, you see this is statement from President Joe Biden from WhiteHouse.gov. All right. This is what he's saying. Then you go on to read through the statement from Mr. Robinette. He goes on further, quote, I also believe raw politics has infected this process and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope all Americans will understand why. Oh, why a father and a president would come to this decision. Okay. And you read on. And you see, oh, being known that this day I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto Robert Hunter Biden a full and unconditional pardon. Y'all ready for this? Here's the boom. It's coming. For those offenses against the United States which he has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1st, 2014 through December 1st, 2024, including but not limited to all offenses charged or prosecuted, including any that have resulted in convictions by Special Counsel David C. Weiss in docket number 1:23-CR-00061-MN and the United States District Court for the District of Delaware and docket number 2:23-CR-00599-MCS-1 and the United States District Court for the Central District of California. Huh. Bobby and Jeff, I need y'all to help me do some mathematics. You know, one of the three R's, some arithmetic. The charges in this case came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Now, is he talking about his election in 2024? Sure he is. So if your concern is that the Congress opponents instigated this to oppose my election, why are you pardoning your son for offenses which he has committed or may have committed or taken part in starting January 1st, 2014. Huh. Well, ain't that something? So this is why I want y'all to see the evidence of the lie. When the scripture says they're not ashamed, they don't even know how to blush, this is an example of it, folks. He's gonna say on one hand, see, the only reason why these charges have arisen is because people want to keep me from being reelected to the presidency. But then at the exact same time, he says, oh, by the way, this pardon covers actions that took place starting January 1st, 2014. What was going on in 2014? I'm so glad you asked. First, 2014, Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden was vice president of the United States. Mr. Barack Hussein Obama was the president of the United States. What else happened in 2014, Abe? I wonder what. Oh, that's right. That's when Hunter Biden was elected to the board of Burisma, a Ukrainian oil and gas company that, oh, what? Oh, that's right. That an FBI informer just came out about, what, 7 months ago, 8 months ago, 10 months ago, that said, hey, by the way, I paid Hunter Biden $5 million and Joe Biden $5 million for them to use their influence to stop the prosecution of the prosecution investigation of Burisma. This is the same Joe Biden who bragged about this. Y'all remember this? I played the audio right here. When Joe Biden bragged about getting the then prosecutor general, Victor Shokin, fired. What he didn't tell you is that Victor Shokin was investigating his son's company and that he had been paid $5 million to stop that investigation. See, when you look at this and it appears to be a pardon of Hunter Biden, no, folks. Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden is attempting to pardon himself. Because if it was only about Hunter Biden, because I want to let you know some of the legalese. If he was just, as he said, he's just a father coming to the decision for his son. And if it was true that he said, I don't want to intervene in the process, the criminal justice process. I'm just a father concerned about my son. He could have very easily simply commuted Hunter Biden's sentences. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, commutation is a power that is available to him. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what President Trump did in his first term. He commuted the sentences of several inmates. Didn't eradicate their convictions, just commuted their sentences. That was an option available to him. But oh no, he doesn't do that. He applies this broad swath of pardon power that covers actions of his son dating back to January 1, 2014. The man is literally attempting to TT on our heads and tell us it's raining. This is not about these cases that he was awaiting sentencing for on this month in Delaware. This goes back to actions. Then I'll go back to his pardon language. This goes back to actions that his son has committed or may have committed or taken part in from 2014, January 1, 2014, all the way through to December 1, 2024. See, when you start laying the things out, and he talking about the political prosecutions, his opponents in Congress, man, go sell that somewhere else. The people that came out, IRS whistleblowers, include Gary Shapley and Joseph Ziegler, who was a Democrat. It wasn't some partisan prosecution or it's your DOJ. When you see that what he's pardoning is for the same thing that Tony Bobulinski told us about. Remember that? Tony Bobulinski told us that Hunter Biden was the bag man, but he made sure he had to take some off the top for the big guy. The laptop told us that Hunter Biden made sure that his deals always secured some off the top for the big guy. Hunter Biden told us he's upset that every time he gets some money, his dad always had to take some off the top. We went from Mr. Robinette never knowing anything about his son's business deals to not being involved in them. Wait, what? What? That's a major change, my boy. That's a major change. I ain't know nothing about it to now. I wasn't involved in them. So you knew about them? And this is why I'm so disgusted with all of this. Because this has happened right before our very eyes. You still got people like, whoopee, trying to go out and saying, oh, he's just a grieved father with his crackhead. He been knowing his son was a crackhead. He didn't just figure that out. And he had no problem using his crackhead son to serve as the body man and the bag man to make sure the Chinese communists and the Ukrainians and every other slush fund that we don't even know about yet Because what he did is he watched Hillary Rodham Clinton and William Jefferson Clinton. He watched them with the Clinton Global Initiative. And all of us watched that as long as a Clinton had access to the White House, president, you know, secretary of state, running for president, the Clinton Global Initiative stayed awash with $250 million. The moment she loses, all that money just disappears. And nobody stopped to think. And we learned about Hillary selling American uranium to the Russians. And then shrug shoulders. So the Biden's watching that. And he's like, hold my bag. She who shall never be president. Now it's my turn. Why would Mr. Biden's pardon date back to 2014? Because that is when there is evidence in the public record of his son being placed on the board of a company, paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars officially, paying millions of dollars to his family unofficially, and he don't know hide nor hair about oil nor gas. So what's he selling? Access. And so with all of this investigation of Hunter Biden's tax evasions and all this kind of stuff, the DOJ mentioned that the generated funds have to do with an influence peddling scheme, not an incident, a scheme, indicating the potential of further investigation. And what Mr. Robinette is trying to do is shut the door on potential investigation. The same laptop, I will remind you, that's been in FBI custody for years. They know what's on it. And so it's things like that that make the appointment of Cash Patel as FBI director make a whole lot of sense. And it's frankly disgusting. Because we have all of these people, and even now, these people don't have the temerity or the humility to recognize, man, we should probably start telling American people the truth. You have the people like Whoopi and others talking about, oh, he's just a father doing for a son. Y'all are so filled with lies. It is despicable. It's despicable. If it's just a father concerned about his son, why does the pardon date back to 2014? And look, say like in New Orleans, let me find out. All of this hubbub, they were so afraid that President Trump was getting to the nut of the matter that they concocted an impeachment scandal on the man when he has the audacity to try to find out what's going on in Ukraine. And they tried to impeach him for a phone call because they were scared to death that President Trump just might find out what's really been going on in Ukraine. And if you're wondering why we're willing to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine with an open southern border, I think the pardon is giving you a little bit of more insight.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests, plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. When you see this and you look at, wait a minute, you start putting these dots together. Remember, the earliest forays into Ukraine happened under Barack Obama. You cannot forget that. And then you have this, the pardon solidifying the dates, which should cause everybody to start asking questions. Why is it that Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden picked this date with such specificity? What does he know that the American people don't know about January 2014? And continuing through to December 2024. Remember when Mr. Biden was in the Oval Office and was asked about his son's relationship with Burisma? And he said, I didn't, nobody told me that it would look bad. I didn't. Nobody told me it would look bad. While saying he knew nothing about his son's business dealings, shall we recall the flights on Air Force Two to China with Hunter on the plane? Why is Hunter on the plane going to China? And then what comes out? Oh, a business deal. And then what's the business? Remember the interview when Hunter was asked on television? What is it about you that caused him to want to have you on the board of these corporations? And he, alas, probably because of who my dad is. Well, you don't say. And so all of this, that the swamp was so keen to try to protect this cabal of evil. You want to talk about the Biden crime family and Peter Schweizer's book. That as Mr. Trump started getting warmer and had the audacity to call Volodymyr Zelensky in Ukraine, they turned that into a quid pro quo scheme when Biden was the one who was quid pro quoing all along. And potentially others. And then it kind of makes you wonder that while we have illegal aliens pouring over our border like never before, can't muster Congress to come together to, for a dollar for that, we can pour hundreds of billions of dollars into Ukraine. You know, pardon me for asking the question, but is that money a part of just a gigantic cover-up? Is it? Now, in terms of practicality, and I'm not attempting to predict what will happen in this instance, but the pardon power employed to protect Hunter Biden removes from Hunter the capacity to invoke the Fifth Amendment if he's ever called to participate in an investigation of someone else. Because the Fifth Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is a feature of our Bill of Rights that the founders crafted, that led to the ratification of our Constitution, that distinguished the American criminal justice system from the English criminal justice system and the European system in general, that protects American citizens by giving us a privilege against self-incrimination. But if the potential of incrimination does not exist, in this instance, Hunter Biden being given this blanket pardon from January 1st, 2014 to December 1st, 2024, if there is no risk of him facing incrimination, guess what Mr. Biden just did? If the evidence ever is uncovered to the place, to an investigation can be focused upon some target other than Hunter Biden, guess who can be prosecutorial witness number one in the case without the privilege against self-incrimination? That would be Hunter Biden. Now, I know it's a risk. I mean, he lives a high-risk lifestyle. But I'm telling you, the objective here had nothing to do with a father just lovingly caring for his son. And frankly, if that was all that it was, you wouldn't have much of a conversation about it. When you see the scope of the pardon application, it should cause everybody to stand up, wait a minute, why is it for the last 11 years? Or 10 years and 11 months? What is that about? And all of the people who called names, you know, I've been called names, but frankly, I don't care. I've been called names all along. I don't care. But all of you who've been trying to share, I get all of the messages, Abe, I try to share the information that you give us, and people won't believe me because they're connected to these propaganda outfits, and they are misconstruing objective information. I mean, literally, the whole media apparatus, including social media apparatus, unanimously concluded that the Hunter Biden laptop story was Russian propaganda. You had 51 intelligence officials sign on to a letter to say that. And then they all were proven to be wrong. Not just wrong, they're lying. They lied. Were proven to have lied. And then the societal collective shrug went, oh, ain't that something? I told you the statistics on this program of the number of people who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 who said, if I'd have known about that laptop, I wouldn't have voted for him. So the very people who complain about election interference literally interfere with an election by lying about facts. And because they had a near monopoly on the media outlet in this country, you had a segment of the nation, though a much smaller megaphone, because we have a people who hunger for truth that have access to nearly half of the country. You had half of the country knowing about this laptop and the other half literally having no clue as to what it is, literally saying, no, wait, no, that is, you have succumbed to Russian propaganda. This is where we are. This is where we are. But when you look at what's happening in these elective offices, it really is a reflection onto the corruption that's prevalent, not everywhere, but in many places in our own nation. I just want to give you this little bit of information. The people freaking out over Kash Patel being nominated to be the FBI director. It's politicized. They're afraid as to what he do in the position. They're not objecting to his credentials. Because you've never heard any objection to his credentials until now. Because Kash Patel is saying, oh, rip it out all root and branch. Expose everything. Just a couple of Kash Patel's greatest hits. Some of you might not have known that Kash Patel has already served in the presidential administration as chief of staff to the acting Secretary of Defense, Christopher Miller. Previously, he was deputy assistant to the president and senior director for counterterrorism at the National Security Council. Prior to that, Mr. Patel served as principal deputy to the acting director of national intelligence, the DNI. Prior to that, he was a national security advisor and senior counsel to the House of Representatives Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. Prior to that, he oversaw sensitive programs for the intelligence community and U.S. Special Forces operations. And he was an attorney in the Department of Justice. Now, nobody had any questions about Kash Patel's qualifications. They don't want what he will do because these kinds of things need to be exposed. I will remind you that the IRS investigation serves under the auspices of the Department of Justice, which is where the FBI is a part of the Department of Justice. As a former U.S. attorney, guess what Kash Patel worked? In the Department of Justice. So this is just afraid of what he will do. But while I say that to you, I want to give you another example as to what I'm concerned about and happening in our nation. So while we have this going on, you know, Trump's coming in, drain the swamp, all this other kind of stuff. Then you have the Trump team who will nominate Scott Bessent, B-E-S-S-E-N-T, to be the U.S. Treasury Secretary. All right, the Treasury Secretary would be over the IRS. Sure. But what would make you, as an America First conservative, if you're conservative, nominate Scott Bessent? Because Scott Bessent is an open homosexual representing himself as married to another man, raising children. And if that isn't, well, not only that, and I want to give you the, let me get it right here. Scott Bessent was formerly the chief investment officer for the Soros Management Fund. You know, George Soros. Now, what would make an America First constitutionalist nominate Scott Bessent to head the Treasury Department when he was the former chief executive officer for the Soros Management Fund? George Soros is a man who has committed himself to regressivism, Marxism, and using his money as a weapon of that. And Scott Bessent was formerly in charge of making sure Soros' money reproduced so he could keep using it in that fashion. I know, Abe, come on, Abe. Don't be a stick in the mud, Abe. Guys, I'm just telling you the truth. My concern is, again, as we're looking at the corruption and the wickedness in public office that we're seeing, for example, with the Bidens. I said inside info. What inside info? Do you want to learn what Soros is doing? Mr. Trump is himself a billionaire whose claim to fame is being shrewd and good in business. Now, again, I know he's not personally reviewing every single person. But why would you do that? Why would you do that? And this is, again, what I'm saying. Are we willing to just wink and act as if we don't know? Because who cares about biblical morality as long as we have a booming economy? This is what I'm saying. Are there no people? And I'm not trying to bag. President Trump has made some amazing choices. Russell Vaught for OMB, fantastic. Cash Patel, I've been telling you, love it. Tom Homan for the board, love it. Stephen Miller, love it. Pam Bondi, clear upgrade over Matt Gaetz. But I'm not going to act like I'm blind. That's one. How about this? The Department of Labor. Let me get her name properly. Lori Chavez de Remer. This woman is known as being, how shall I say this, sympathetic to Marxism? To head up the Department of Labor? I think these things should be called out. I'm not saying it's all over. But you have to. Let me just say it this way. I have a conviction that supersedes political expediency. And I know for a fact that you can find shrewd, wise, prudent financial people to run the Treasury Department without a history of Soros fidelity and being an advocate, an out proud advocate for homosexuality, homosexual marriage, and for children to be conscripted to be reared without a father or a mother. Because while I do believe draining a swamp is important and having a strong defense is important and having a robust economy is important, I also believe that the sanctity of marriage is important. I also believe that a child should be reared with a father and a mother. I also agree with George Washington, who said religion and biblical morality are indispensable supports. You cannot go forward in this nation without it. And my concern is that there are too many who will be willing to go, yeah, no way. I don't make a big deal about it. Don't be a stick in the mud. I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud, but I will cry aloud and spare not. It's not a wise choice. And I would say to those people that I would not be an asset to any leader if I acted as if I don't know what the Word of God says just for political expediency. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. And I want to encourage you not to do it. So that ultimately, that we won't fall among the ranks of those who are condemned in Jeremiah chapter 6. Everyone greedy for unjust gain. Everyone. From the least to the greatest of them. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. I don't want anybody to misconstrue where we are. We're still in a place where repentance is the order of the day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.